Good morning, church. And a very warm welcome to you on this dreary Sunday. Thank you for coming out. I always think it's a bit of a picture, isn't it? Coming out of the world, the grey and the gloominess, into the sanctuary of the Lord. So may we spend time in his presence this morning. Amen. Amen. Right, I'm going to start with the notices. There are five. You're getting them in chronological order. So here we go. And it starts straight after this service. Because you will, at the end of the service, file out for tea and coffee. We know how important that is to have our cup of tea and coffee. And then the members of the church are going to come back in here for a special church members meeting where we will be electing our new elder in Lawrence. So non-members are welcome to stay outside and continue their tea and coffee. But just so you know, there will be members coming back in here for that meeting soon afterwards. The next notice is also today and happens at 1:30 on the rec. Today is the Shelford Fun Fair. Oh, what a day for it as well. Although I'm just looking outside and I can't see any drops on the puddles, so maybe we'll be okay. Between 1:30 and 3:30, we are holding an open spaces event. It's going to be a Bible scavenger hunt. It would be great if you can come, or if you can't come, maybe pray that the weather holds so that other people will come. Next notice, and we're still in today, there's such a lot going on. We've got a live course, the next session starting at 6:30 this evening. It's here. And the fourth notice, it's still in today, because whether you want to come to that or whether you can't come to that, there's a prayer meeting at 8:00. Details of that are in the link. And the final notice is something a bit different. It's something called the Thy Kingdom Come Initiative, which is a global ecumenical prayer movement happening between Easter and Ascension, or sorry, from Ascension to Pentecost, sorry, my apologies. And the aim is for, we want to encourage everyone to pray for five people who aren't Christians, who we would like to have faith and pray that they would come to know the Lord. And to help that, there are these two resources. You've got a prayer journal here. You've got this other booklet here. They're both in the lounge. We'd love to invite you to take one of these to help you on that journey. But wouldn't that be great if we saw, if everyone here prayed for five people? Imagine we'd have to have five services to fit everyone in. So let's have faith over this period and commit people to prayer in God. The verse before I hand over to Charlotte on my heart, Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never changes. His mercies are new every day. And how do we respond? Amen. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Charlotte, please do lead us in our first songs.
Well, good morning, church. Do stand if you're able to, and we'll sing together.
Until he's restored, forgive. Father, let that be our prayer this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. It's not about us, Lord, it's about you and about what you have done and who you are. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank amen. You for my voice this morning, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Do please have a seat.
Well, good morning, everyone, and good morning, Clive. And what have you got here today? It's your fishing rod. You're going fishing. Have you ever been fishing before? You used to fish a lot back in the old days, before you came to live with me. I didn't know that. You enjoy fishing. It's peaceful. And it gives you time to think. I suppose so. But you want to catch a fish for tea. I didn't even know you liked fish. I thought you only liked cake. You like lots of things, but cake is best. And have I ever heard of fish cake? Well, yes, I have, but it's not really the sort of cake you usually eat. You haven't tried it yet. But you think all cake must be good cake. I wonder if everyone watching would think the same. Did you know that after Jesus died and rose again, Peter and some of the other disciples went back to fishing? They were fishermen before they met Jesus. Yes, some of them were. And Peter said he was going to go out fishing, and some of the others went with him. They went out in their boats and they fished all night. You've been told that's the best time to go fishing. Did they catch many? No, not one. But then Jesus appeared on the shore and they didn't realise it was him, but he told them to go and cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And when they did that, their nets were full of fish, almost to bursting. And then they realised who it was. And Peter jumped out of the boat and hurried to reach Jesus first, with the others following in the boat and bringing the fish. They must have been happy to see Jesus again. Yes, they were. And Jesus cooked them breakfast, which they ate together. Was it fish cake? No, but it was similar, I suppose. Fish and bread. You think they were hungry if they'd been fishing all night? Yes, I expect so. Fishing can be hard work. Much harder with nets than with a fishing rod. Jesus knew just what they needed. Yes. And Jesus knows what each one of us needs too. But they wouldn't have caught any fish if they hadn't done what Jesus said. No. And sometimes we need to listen more carefully to what Jesus is asking us to do and then to follow his instructions, because he not only knows what we need, but he also has the best plan for us. And when Jesus is in control, sometimes the most surprising and wonderful things happen. Perhaps you can think of some surprising and wonderful things that Jesus has done in your life. When we listen carefully to Jesus' voice and we are obedient to what he is saying, He just loves to work in us and through us in ways that we can't even imagine. Jesus is amazing. Yes, he is. And always good. Yes, indeed. And he loves each one of us, which is the best of all. Much better than fish cake. Yes. But let's say goodbye now, and you can go and catch your fish. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you again next time. Be blessed.
Good morning. It's my privilege to be able to lead us in prayer this morning. I'd like to share two prayers that I found on the Abide website. The first one is for children and young people. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for our young people. We are so grateful for the gift that they are. So help us remind them how much we and you love them, no matter what. Give them wisdom and peace and help them to trust you. Assure them that you will provide whatever they need and guard their hearts and minds. Thank you for your great love for them and for their leaders this morning. Amen. Okay, youngsters, go and have fun. Pray again. Lord, we come before you today with a heart full of hope and a mind filled with expectation. We know that you are with us every step of the way, guiding our path and leading us towards a life of true freedom. Your word promises that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we invite your Spirit to fill us afresh this morning, to bring us the freedom that comes from knowing you more deeply. Give us the courage to let go of anything that is holding us back from experiencing true freedom. Whether it's fear, doubt, or worry, we trust that you will help us overcome these obstacles. We choose to focus on your promises and to stand firm in our faith, knowing that you have already won the victory over every challenge we might face. Thank you for the freedom that we have in you. Thank you for the sacrifice you made on the cross that allows us to live a life free from the bondage of sin. Help us to walk in the truth of your word today and every day. We pray that you would help us to overcome any temptation or struggle that may come our way. Give us the strength to resist the enemy and to stand firm in our faith. Help us to trust in your love and provision for our life, even when things seem uncertain or difficult. We also ask for wisdom and discernment. Help us make choices that honour you and reflect your love to those around us. Let our words and actions be a testimony to your grace and mercy, and may they inspire others to seek the freedom that only you can provide. Help us to love others as you have loved us. Show us how to extend grace and mercy to those around us. May our words and actions reflect your character and your heart for humanity. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, do join me as we continue in our song worship.
Sing of the goodness.
Please have a seat.
The reading comes from John chapter 21, verse 1 to somewhere, all but the last verse. This is the last chapter in the Gospel of John, and it's the one that follows directly after Thomas doubts the resurrection and then meets the risen Christ. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said to him, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into their boats. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did this, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Peter heard this, "It is the Lord," He wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing their net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 meters. When they had landed, they saw a fire burning of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of your fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to me, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple who Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leant back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumour spread amongst the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is a disciple who testifies to Jesus and whom wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true.
Thank you, Chris. We all need glasses, that's fine. Let's pray. Father God, we want to know you more. Whether we know you a little, whether we know you a lot, I pray that we would all know your life and life to the full and feel more alive with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a great pleasure to be here and to speak to you all And we're continuing our live course. This is session 4. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're feeling a bit more alive. Wonder when you did feel alive recently. For me, it's not a very difficult question to answer because yesterday I was watching my football team be promoted to the championship. So there we go, the mighty Derby County. I will resist the urge to give you a sermon about the history of the club over the last few years, the lows and the highs. But there we go. So forgive me if I go off on a football-related tangent during this sermon. But when did you last feel particularly free? Because we all need to walk in greater freedom to be able to experience the fullness of what God has for each one of us. And freedom and the universal longing for freedom is something that is not confined to the walls of the church. It's something that everyone in the world is looking towards as well. The trouble is, if you take a purely psychological approach and go down the self-help route, quite often you end up feeling ultimately unfulfilled. And we know fulfillment and freedom comes through Jesus Christ. But I wonder how much richer you would feel if you were not burdened by any guilt or shame or fear in your life. And pulling it into our story for today, we're focusing on Simon Peter, and Jesus's forgiveness of him, recommissioning of him. Now, it's interesting, at the start of our passage, we've got this figure of Simon Peter who is probably at quite a low ebb. He's denied Jesus 3 times just a few days previous. Suddenly all these stories about, you know, we've seen Jesus, but things seem a bit odd. Lots of confusion in his head. And yet a couple of weeks from this story, he will be the first person standing up on the day of Pentecost proclaiming Christ crucified. How does that kind of transformation happen? What happens? Because he met the risen Jesus, and the risen Jesus freed him and forgave him from what happened. And the great news is that if we believe that Jesus is alive today, then we can also be freed and forgiven, and we can live out our future, which is greater than our failure, and we can live out a call which is greater than our fall. And there are 3 areas that I think we can experience greater freedom from. And I'm just going to go through them. It's not exhaustive, but the first one is freedom from past frustration. And I wonder what frustrates you. I can tell you what frustrates me sometimes. Maybe it's the driver who drives too close and erratically behind you. Maybe it's if people know, Charlotte and I, a bit, you know, been making lots of calls to insurance companies lately because of life events. I like to think that I'm highly skilled in being able to speak to an actual person and getting past the automated system. I'm pretty certain that our treasurer, Stuart, was also a master of that with his numerous calls to Barclays Bank over the preceding months. But I wonder what frustrates you. These are more trivial things in the grand scheme of life. Maybe there are frustrations from relationships, health, work situations, you know, where you are, you know, a sense of frustration about your calling. Maybe there are more fundamental frustrations. And again, if we look at the start of our story, as also summed up with Diana and Clive earlier, we see the disciples, having not really known what to make about what's going on, having seen their hopes seemingly dashed a short time ago with Jesus being crucified, and then suddenly these reports, is he alive, isn't he, not really sure, and then they think, well, let's go fishing, you know, our hopes have been dashed to an extent, what are we going to do? Well, we were fishermen before, let's go and have a good old fish, right? And the trouble is, they're fishing all night and they can't catch anything. How frustrating is that? You know, my hopes have been dashed. I'm going to go back to what I was trained in. Now I can't even fish. I've gone all night and I can't catch anything. That's frustrating. even more so that you've got somebody who they didn't recognise initially, it was Jesus, calling out to them, "Have you got any fish?" It's almost slightly comical in my view. And if somebody had said that to me, I probably would have flown off the handle at them with everything that had been gone on with the baggage they'd collected. But the interesting thing is, at that moment when Jesus calls out to them, he knows more about fishing than the fishermen. He tells them to let the nets down the other side. And again, translating to our situations here, you can be highly skilled, highly trained. It doesn't guarantee success in what you do, because in order to bring the fruit, we need the catalyst that is Jesus in our lives. Because ultimately, Jesus knows more about business than the businessman. He knows more about nursing than the nurse. He knows more about parenting than the parents. Whatever it is that you're involved in, Jesus can be the catalyst and can bring the fruit. And into this, we don't exactly know how this miracle occurs, but Jesus has this catch, this amazing miracle happens. They recognize it's the Lord, and they immediately respond and come ashore. They respond to Jesus' invitation to come and have breakfast. What's interesting about that is, firstly, Jesus is interested in the ordinary aspects of life. Come and have breakfast. Isn't that a wonderful invitation? But there was also a sense that after the miracle had happened, the point when miracles happen, as amazing they are, that isn't necessarily the point. The point is for us to go beyond the miracle and meet the miracle maker in Jesus Christ. And we see a lovely picture of the disciples responding to that invitation, not just getting the haul of fish and going, "Thank you very much," moving on, but actually going, "Wow, I want to meet the miracle maker, the gift giver." And Jesus draws into them at this time. Jesus isn't aloof at this point, but he comes and meets the disciples. He meets them in their frustration. He helps them with this haul of fish, and then he invites them in. Jesus plays a very proactive part. And in the same way, Jesus is calling us, I believe, into that greater freedom to enable us to be free from those frustrations. What does that mean practically? Well, again, as Diana and Clive summed up, it's about hearing the voice of God. How do we hear the voice of God? There are lots of ways. We can hear him through the Bible. We can hear him two ways through the Bible. First one is through the general counsel of the Bible, because there's a lot of good stuff in here that's generally applicable to most situations in life. But I'm sure some of you here will know that feeling when you're reading the Bible and suddenly a word or a phrase or a paragraph leaps off the page and you think, "Wow, that's really for me right now." And God speaks to us in the moment as well in his living and active word. He doesn't only speak through his word, he speaks through that still, small voice. And I often think, in this day and age, as the world gets louder, that still, small voice seems to be stiller and smaller still, but no less audible to those whose ears are attuned to hear it. Are you tuned to hear the voice of God? And that's why Christians talk about the discipline of spending time with Jesus every day, because we have to develop that relationship. Because it's important to move beyond the miracle that we see to meet the miracle maker. And the really interesting thing is that by looking after these practical needs, this catch of fish, having breakfast, Jesus is providing a safe relational space to address the deep needs of Peter, which is the main purpose of this passage. And that leads us to the second point, freedom from past failure. I want you to have a look at this timeline. I hope it's big enough. It's always smaller, isn't it, than when you think. This is a timeline of somebody, and the simple game is, can you guess who it is? It's a timeline of failure. Your best clue is probably the very last bullet point. Any guesses? I didn't hear it. You're going to have to... Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. Absolutely right. There you go. There's a reference at the bottom. Now, if you were looking at this objectively, yes, it ended in success, but there's a lot of failure that went into that. And let's be honest, we've all failed. We've failed, Simon Peter has failed. We can't get away from our past failures. Now, sometimes when failures happen, people say, oh, you know, time can be a great healer. And yes, sometimes it enables us to reflect, but sometimes there are hurts that time does not make better. And I believe that Simon Peter's denial would have cut a deep wound that would not just have got better given time. And it needed more active help and support and surgery, let's say heart surgery, by Jesus. Jesus takes Peter aside in our passage and he helps him to face up to what has happened. He was helping Peter to own the problem by asking the question three times. He wasn't trying to be deliberately hurtful, but he was trying to get to the root of the problem, because I suspect outwardly Peter probably looked pretty normal and pretty fine. And I think that's something we can relate to in our culture, isn't it? The British stiff upper lip, we're pretty good at looking fine on the outside. Doesn't necessarily translate into what's happening behind the mask, right? Jesus helps Peter with this root work. And as Christians, we often like to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the good things and the fruit. But in order to get fruit, you need good roots, right? And this is a period and a passage where Jesus is doing root work, not fruit work, with Peter. Interestingly, Simon, son of John. You know, where's that title of Simon Peter the Rock? In that moment, he addresses Simon as son of John, a more vulnerable title. He will become the rock later on, but in order to get freedom and forgiveness, Jesus lovingly addresses him and goes to the root of his sin and failure. And in the same way, by asking those searching questions, do you love me more than these? Jesus gets that root problem and he wants to get to the root of the sin and failure in all of our lives to enable us again to live in greater freedom. It's with a purpose, so we can live more for him. I want you to look at this. This is kintsugi, which is a Japanese technique from a few centuries ago. No one's exactly sure when it came up, but it's the art of repairing broken pottery. And the way that the broken pottery is mended was through a lacquer of gold, silver, and platinum. And what you get, the results, as you can see from this picture, is something that not only takes on a new beauty, but actually will be more valuable than the original pottery. What a picture of what God does for our lives, right? So I'd invite you, if there is sin and failure and hurt that is dragging you down and burdening you, open up to Jesus. Let him search your heart, as the psalm says, search my heart. And the final point is freedom for future purpose. Because at that time, at the beginning of our passage, the future did not look bright. It looked pretty futile for Peter. His discipleship, or his position as a disciple, as a leader, was very much felt over. He's denied Jesus, he's failed the great test. What else is there to do? And yet Jesus not only forgave Peter for the past in that thrice, do you love me? And I know there's lots you can get into in terms of the Greek words. I'm not going to do that this morning. But Jesus recommissions him, and just as he denied Jesus three times, so Jesus asked the question three times and then recommissions him three times. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. And we can see by reading the book of Acts just how complete that transformation was, right? We can read about what Peter goes on to do. And in fact, Peter goes on and writes two of the books in the New Testament, right? 1 and 2 Peter. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercies, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Born again. You can't really get much more of a change, of a transformation, than being born again, right? Starting again. That is the words that Peter uses himself to describe the difference that Jesus has made. His transformation is so dramatic. And it's a transformation that is not just for Peter. It's a transformation, again, if we believe that Jesus is alive, that transformation is available for all of us. And there's one last thing I think we can get from this passage. And officially, the passage is only supposed to run to verse 19, but I did ask Chris to read a few verses extra, because you get that little bit about where Peter gets distracted and says, what about him? What about him? And he's referring to John, the author of the gospel. This suddenly, in this point of recommissioning, Peter gets distracted and suddenly gets into this trap of comparison. How often do we compare ourselves to other people? It's natural, human trait, but it's a very unhelpful thing to do. And Jesus doesn't just let it go. He doesn't go, well, I've done the recommissioning, so, you know, we'll let that one slide. No, he lovingly confronts Peter. And his simple question, I love the simplicity of Jesus' answer. He just says, what is it to you? And then he says the following words, which I believe should be life-changing to every Christian. He just says, you must follow me. And if we could live that and live free from that comparison trap, then I wonder how freer we would be and how much more fruitful we would be. And what's the result? In Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John, there's a story, very famous story, Peter and John go to the temple to heal a lame man. Does anyone remember? I learnt it as a kid's song when I was growing up. Peter and John went to pray, they met a lame man on the way. Does anyone remember that one? They asked him for alms and they laid out his palms, and this is what he did, say, silver and gold are none, but such as I am, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. By the way, as a side point, songs are a great way for remembering scripture. By the way, that's what's the point of that? The point is Peter and John went to pray. They went together. They went as partners, right? So we've moved from a couple of weeks ago where Peter's going, what about him? Seeing John as a competitor to now working together as partners to great and powerful effect. And the point is that one of the keys to us fulfilling our destiny is working together with others, because Christianity is not a one-player game. It's not a solo sport. We need each other. That's why we're here this morning, gathering in the community of Christ. So, maybe there's an area of your life, just as Jesus recommissioned Peter for future purpose. Maybe you've heard words, or you've got ambitions and things haven't really worked or haven't really happened. I believe Jesus wants to breathe new life into those words this morning. Because it doesn't matter whether you're 1 year old or 99 years old, there is still purpose that Jesus wants to bring into your life. So wrapping up, God is a God of freedom. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And freedom is a journey. Nelson Mandela referred to it as the long walk to freedom. Yes, we experience freedom when we turn to Christ initially. And there can be moments where we stand together in prayer with other people or with God, and we know a freedom, a certain release from something. But there's also a sense where every day we need to practice walking in freedom as well. It's both and. And praise God, we've got people in our church, leaders and prayer ministry teams, who will happily stand with people if there are issues that need to be worked through together. It's so important to do that. Complete freedom will only come in the age on the next side of eternity, but on this side of eternity, I believe we can walk in greater freedom. It is a journey, but I pray in Jesus' name that we would open up to him, let him do the heart surgery and recommission us individually and as a church for the good things that he wants to do. Amen? Amen. Charlotte, would you lead us in our song, please?
Well, do stand if you're able to, and we'll round up our service with this final hymn, Amazing Grace.
Save the wretch like me. Amen to that. As we draw our time together to a close, may you know the freedom that comes through Christ. And as you walk through this day, may you know the one who holds your every moment. May Jesus, who is peace himself, guide your every step and guard your heart. May you know your Heavenly Father is watching over you by day and night. And may you be filled with his Spirit and refreshed with his presence. And as your day draws to a close, may you be reminded that you are dearly loved. Amen. Amen. So do please stay and have coffee and a chat. And then those of you who are members